This is the Freedom Bean, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, where we alter your locus to release by warming your synapses through jubilative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sinful estatism out of your head. Can you feel it? Michael W. Dean and Derek J.
Yes. Yes.
I feel it.
And I'm Jim Jesus, and this show is covered by a BIPCOT. No government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state actors. You can learn more at bipscot.org.
Like Kelsey Grammer, who played George Washington in Benedict Arnold, A Question of Honor, a made-for-TV movie in 2003. Yes.
Yeah, he's not allowed to use Fiend Phone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Although, I don't know, he's one of the weird ones in Hollywood because he's definitely not a liberal, you know. Hey, Derek.
Yes, sir.
I think we're getting the famed Derek echo.
Oh,
Can you turn down your? I know you like to have me just.
I'm turning it down to a whisper.
In your ears.
What?
Jim's on, man. Yeah. So we're going to hell. Do you guys see this? There's a
fiend. How quickly?
He didn't specify.
How much time do I have?
He didn't specify. Like a lot, I guess they leave that up to God, but we did an episode on the Freedom Fiends called Throw Down Your Badge, Take Off Your Clothes, and Join Us in the Field of Liberty. And it's got a picture of two really hot cops making out, two male cops. They're obviously not cops. They're like, you know, models, but they're gay as hell, and they're cops.
More of that, please.
They're kissing each other, and we got a comment on the website that said, "God is coming back. Stop what you're doing." And it's from someone named Nyonomem. I don't know what that means. Nyanoem. If one of our crack research team fiend analysis people listening in the cheap
seats.
What
are the cops supposed to do? I mean, they're sitting around in the same car all day. You know, they have to be buddies now. They got to do the buddy system. It's always two in a car.
Did you say buddies?
Yeah, and it gets lonely. You know, it's like, and we don't want them out there writing tickets all day. Please.
Yeah.
I mean, show just some remember, love to your comrades.
Just remember that judgment is reserved for God and God alone, but you are going to hell.
Pick one,
please. But they have a laptop. They can look at funny memes like that purple bird that's been.
I'll give a free pack of fiend stickers for anybody that can get a picture of cops looking at something very unwork-related on their laptop. Hey, check y'all's email. I just sent proof that homosexuality is natural. See, this is where we're going to lose stations right here. I don't even care. I'm straight as the day is long. I don't know. If anyone wants to chime in, I don't care what you guys are.
Yeah, natural. Not a good argument.
Check out the picture I just sent you.
Oh,
male cats doing it. Well, they're not really doing it.
Wait, they're not doing it. They're spooning.
It looks like it. They're spooning, but really, you know, rubbing kitty.
Bumping uglies.
Yeah. So
sort of.
That's gonna be the picture. That's gonna be the picture tonight. I'm gonna go with a really. We're a traditional family show. Show's gonna be called Happy Valentine's Day. Happy VD.
This will not end well.
Happy VD from the Freedom Fiends, and it's gonna be that picture. So, do you guys approve?
Yes, but those cats are getting a little overly luscious, if you ask me. I think you need to cut down on their diet a little bit.
Oh, yeah. They're
too much fancy feasts.
But here's what happened was...
That feast is a little too fancy.
They've been on a diet for 3 days now. So they are 3 days into a diet and pawing.
How much weight have they lost?
A lot. You don't use a scale to lose weight.
Are they working
you
just out?
Look in the mirror. Oh, they're
Do you put them on a little kitty treadmill?
No, they just chase each other, man.
They got those little athletic balls. They're throwing around a medicine ball.
I would like to see some kitty acrobatics, you know.
Here's what happened. When we got those cats, two of the three cats. Bip Cat, the famous one in that picture, that's on the Bitcoin currency, that's covered by the Bipcot, no government license. The one that's
he is the Bipcot
in that picture.
No government license.
Bipcot. He's the face of Bipcot. Actually, no, that weird monster thing with fangs that, well, cats have fangs. That Dobby
they are one.
Made. Yeah, is the you have a Bipcot flag, right, you guys?
I have one flying on my house, and it has worked perfectly. The cops have come to my door several times for parties that I've been throwing and other reasons, and they never come in because they know they're not allowed. And if they do, they're going to get made fun of.
I would love to see video if they ever knock on your door of you telling them, I'm sorry, officer, this house, as you can plainly see by the flag we fly, is covered by the Bipcot no government license. You have no powers here. And then shut the door. I want video of that.
Does your house allow use and reuse by everyone?
Everyone. Isn't a cop? I could see commies using that as an excuse to squat in your living room.
I think the only time I've ever heard of a Bipcot house with that definition would probably be the LRN studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The difference is I'll
everybody
shoot
just walks in. Drunk people come in and just
go. I said look I'll shoot them.
Illegal. Look up illegal things on the internet.
They can come on in if they want to try and live in my house, but it's going to be tough to do with all the bullets.
I'm bookmarking this list of actors who've played the president for when Jim is on and he says use and reuse by anyone except state actors like Anthony Hopkins, who played John Quincy Adams in the movie Amistad. Yes.
Or Paul Giamatti.
What did he play?
He was president.
He played
in the movie?
The senior.
In John Adams. Yep. Yep.
But you know what? I would vote for him because I know that he wouldn't drink any effing Merlot.
He did an interview recently. Where he knows absolutely nothing about wine.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Good.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny about that movie is like the only reason why Pinot, everyone drinks Pinot Noir is because of that movie.
People who don't know anything about wine drink, right?
Yeah, because they saw that movie. But it used to be like there was like five people that drank Pinots because it's not a very popular varietal at all. And then after that movie came out, it was a number one seller. And then Merlot took a dip for just no other reason. But he just mentioned it once like he wasn't going to drink any Merlot. That was it.
I thought it was a running joke in that where like they'd encounter other people who were kind of tourists to wine tasting and not confused, and they'd always ask for that at the wine tasting things in Marin.
Well, the thing was like he liked Pinot Noirs because, and everybody was always asking him like, "Why do you like Pinots? Like, what's the deal with them?" Because no one drinks Pinots, like no one uses.
I believe Pinots. There are some good ones. I also know nothing about wine, and I when I was a drinker and I drank for the alcohol, not the taste. I had had, you know, a glass of $40 bottle of wine or $80 bottle of wine, you know, not incredibly expensive, but good wine I'd had before. I could not tell or did not care to tell the difference between that and like $2. People are vomiting that I'm saying
$2 chucks.
$2 chucks, yeah.
When they do blind taste tests, a lot of people can't differentiate the difference between a $100 bottle of wine and a $40 bottle of wine.
Snobs.
They'll be able to tell the difference between like a $100 bottle and a $3 chuck. But there's some $3 chucks that'll have you confused about how good they are. And well, that's what recently, I kind of mostly get.
There was recently somebody was tried for or arrested for massive fraud for selling, you know, $5 chuck as $200 something and doing it, you know, on an
what's wrong with that
scale for
what,
years.
What is wrong with that if they have a buyer? Were they being dishonest about what the ingredients were?
Yeah.
Or
they were being dishonest about what the brand of wine was.
Oh, they were like putting Carlo Di Rossi.
Oh, okay.
I like how Derek can make the most extreme you know, I am someone who believes that there should be vending machines for crack and vending machines for rifles. Probably not in the same vending machine to avoid confusion, but
you don't want to get the wrong one by accident.
Oh, but man, I wanted A4, not A5.
Derek is the guy who constantly implies or even says that I'm too statist. Like, oh, that's all you're willing to go to is vending machines with crack. And, you know, and we're going to get into this, like, you know, is blackmail an actual crime? Like, would it be a crime in a libertarian paradise? Oh, before we get into that, and that's
there's a lot of people who pay for that.
Let me wreck my, have you heard about, that's
it's a
weird
fetish
thing
now.
Too, financial control fetishism. That's like,
yeah.
Ugh, yeah.
That's the creepiest, man.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. Financial dom.
If I could get it.
Whoa.
He's buffering. Oh,
he's buffering, you know, hard on some Kenny G right there.
I know.
Derek's cool, but
in on that. I'm
you buffered for, man. Ugh. Derek. Poor Derek.
What?
I think he got a hold of some Flintstones chewable crack.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna buff up his buffer here to get him buffed up.
Buff me up.
Yeah. Is your housemate Love a Man like watching Netflix or something there, maybe, Derek? Or is it just the Seacoast cutting edge of 1998 internets you have there? Hello?
Hello. Anyways. So,
Jim.
So as you were saying, what do you mean? What, you were going on a story about something.
Well, I was going to, I had a short story. Interesting. You know, I said yesterday on the show that I look at everything. I had some interesting feedback from the show yesterday. I had someone say that I was white knighting because I was calling someone a scumbag for being mean, very like ruining the career of a woman. Like, and it's not a woman I know. I'm not even friends with her on Facebook. I have no desire to get with her. I don't know anything about her. I've never even seen a picture of her. And I'm certainly not white knighting her. But that's kind of funny. I find that kind of disgusting that is...
What?
I understand not. That white knighting... Explain what white knighting is for those listening on radio who don't know what the internet is.
So back in the days of chivalry, we can talk about it when we get back, but it's basically kind of fighting, defending a woman's honor in order, hoping to get, some.
We got to go find reward. Derek J. Speaking of defending women's honor, I'm going to go save it.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Adult
meow. So Derek J
is MIA.
Yeah, and he's apparently the state has droned him. Now, he emailed me from his phone and said that the internet's out in his house and he's going to try pairing his laptop to his phone, which is interesting, and I like it. I think Lisa did that once successfully on The Fiends, or maybe she just said she had the ability to do a hotspot. You know, there's a couple new Android phones that are coming out that are going to have that built in. I think you can get apps for it, but there's a couple coming out that have like really high quality, like lots of internets.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
Go. Oh, right. There we are.
You there?
Hey.
Now.
Worms. Are
you paired?
Yeah. Are you paired? Yeah, I'm paired to my phone.
Great. Is that an Android or an iPhone?
It's an iPhone because I'm one of the beautiful people.
Yep. Is that an option or do you need an app for that? With that,
no, it's standard
adapter or no, it's Wi-Fi, right? It turns into Wi-Fi.
It's a standard for like hotspot. I mean, I think they tried to make it proprietary. Well, they tried to make it so that it was like, oh, you have to be special,
beautiful,
or you have to download an app and get around it. But then they're like, everyone's just doing this. Let's just allow our users.
Yeah. They don't. They tried to block it for a while.
That's what it is.
Yeah, they wanted. Yeah, exactly. They didn't want people to do it. People started.
It's so ridiculous, man.
Because they want to limit data. That was for a while that they were trying. Yeah, they didn't want anybody. They were usually selling like unlimited data plans, and then
it wasn't.
Yeah, like everybody signed up for signed a contract for it, and then they were like, "Oh, this was a bad idea." So they started scaling it back, and anybody who wasn't grandfathered in, there was no way of getting it. But they looks like they started doing it again, so that's a thing. But
I have real unlimited data. The thing with my plan is though, if you go well over your huge monthly limit, your internet gets slower, but still not even, you know, like not that slow. I never come near to using it because I never leave the house.
Yeah, sometimes I'll get close to using it.
Much.
But T-Mobile has like this thing where they don't count certain services. So if I use Google Music or YouTube, they don't
count. Those don't count.
So for T-Mobile, no. Like some, if you have one of their plans or whatever. So no, they don't count
that.
That's
one of the things that...
And then everything that you don't use... Yeah, everything you don't use rolls over to the next month. So I have like 10 gigabytes on my rollover, and then so I just never use it and just keep stacking up. I don't even know how much I have anymore.
That's the opposite of net neutrality.
I know.
Yeah,
and they were actually getting in trouble for that.
Well, net neutrality is the communist idea that people should have to do that for all data, that if they do it for their own, you know, partner's data, that they'd have to do it for all data. And it is communism. Straight up.
Yeah, to each according to their needs from each from their own bandwidth or something.
So I did a cost-benefit analysis with it. Oh, wait, you were telling a story before we got droned, Jim. What was it? White knighting. What white knighting is.
Oh, yeah. So white knighting, it came from the days of chivalry, where the prince would, or whatever, would dress up in his shining armor and save a woman and protect them and get the girl in the end. And it kind of translates over to the internet of anybody who tries to, like, you know, like a woman who is being harassed or insulted or just being disagreed with mildly.
Or needs help, like, you know, configuring her Wi-Fi. There's 20 guys jump to help her. Yeah.
Or she's randomly depressed for no particular reason and wants to vague book about it.
Vague book? I like that term.
Vague booking is when you go on Facebook and you say something like, "Everything is so awful," and then everybody goes like, "Oh, something is terrible. Something terrible has happened to this poor woman." Yeah. Let me expose.
I want specific demands of horror and problems.
Yeah,
vague booking. I didn't know there's a name for that. That's really annoying. I see it all the time. And you know what? I tend to unfriend people who do that who I don't know.
Absolutely. You know what? You know what cannot be tolerated.
Lately, I've been getting a lot of...
It can't be tolerated in a social
order.
You know,
like Facebook saying, you might like order. This person. And I add them. And they just turn out to be nuts and like, what's the word? Compulsive disclosure about all their problems, man. I kill that stuff.
Well, then you probably need to trim the branches a little bit, because whatever Facebook is recommending that you be friends with them, then other people are probably friends with them that you know. So you probably got to get rid of them, too.
I do extreme vetting when it comes to, like, my Facebook friends.
Yeah.
I should only allow Freedom Fiends.
If they're a guy, I make sure they have mutual friends. If they're female, and especially if they're really gorgeous, I'll put them on the burner for a little bit and wait and see if their account doesn't die within 2 weeks, and then I'll add them as a friend.
Oh, I report anyone who's spam who's a beautiful woman who has no mutual friends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Nobody owns me. To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Is your refrigerator running? Better go catch it.
Jim's telling jokes from my youth in the 70s.
Do you have Prince Albert in a can?
How fat
Better
is she?
Better let him out.
My mother's dead, Derek.
No.
Your mom's so fat, I tried to drive around her, but I ran out of gas.
Yeah. Here's a joke from the 60s. I was told this when I was... Hey, you're echoing again, Derek. I was told this when I was, about five, you know, in 1969. Guy calls up the Salvation Army. Do you save people? Yes. Do you save bad girls? We save everybody. Well, save me one for Saturday night. And
oh, classic.
Why is there a fence around the cemetery? Because people are just dying to get in.
Oh, womp.
Yeah. You should start telling. Joe, somebody's echoing. Who is it? Who's bad?
Derek.
Who's a bad human?
It can't Derek. Be me. It can't be. You guys are so quiet, I can barely Stop. Hear you.
Check. It's Jim.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Oh, no. It's Derek. It's absolutely Derek.
It can't be. It's me.
Your fluffy hair is leaking your headphone cover.
I shaved my head. There's no way.
Well, go get some Vaseline from the KY. Put it around your head.
Okay.
I don't really like hearses. I wouldn't be caught dead in one.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if I were a pretty girl, I'd be rich. I was thinking about this. We were talking about, like, white knighting. I'd be dead, probably, because if, you know, with all the talent I have, before I even got into, like, my post-rock and roll career, I would have been a rock star if I had the same talent but was a beautiful woman. And if I had been famous, I would have been dead. So, I actually have Tony Fagg to thank. I hate the guy. I don't hate him. I just don't ever want to talk to him again. He's a sociopath. But who really twists and uses people and gets a big kick out of it. But he probably saved my life because he wanted to put a swastika on our record. Because we were one of the... And it got us kicked off Warner Brothers, which kept me from being a rock star. And therefore, I had to run out of money and quit doing heroin at one point for 22 years or so. And didn't do any drugs until I discovered Kratom. And I was like, wait, you can mail order. No, never mind. That's cash. Cash, go away. You can mail order something that's... Anyway. Yeah. Thanks, Tony.
Kratom,
oh, so
great.
I haven't told the Nazi story for a while. Oh, so Bomb, my band... If you're playing the home version of the bingo game, there you go, Bomb. Bomb was one of the first bands that had the mandatory cussing sticker. You know, the adult, what does it say? Adult content.
Oh, parental advisory.
Yeah, that thing.
Explicit content.
My favorite one, by the way, is Iggy Pop. He put on his, was the parental advisory one. It said, parental advisory, this is an Iggy Pop record, which pretty much says everything you need to know. But, yeah, Bomb was one of the first people to have that on the record, on the CD. And Tony was so offended by this. He was like, okay, you know how everybody calls people Nazis now? He said, that's like Nazis. And this was in 1990, 91.
Back when you could call someone a Nazi and it probably was true.
Yeah, because they were still alive. Yeah, well, in Germany, you could say to an old person it was probably true.
Well, no, there's the American Nazi Party. They're still a thing, sort of.
Yeah. They've cleaned up a little bit and you know, got a book on economics, and now they're the alt-right.
Yeah, they wear bow ties.
Yeah. So Tony said, well, we're going to put a swastika sticking out from the four corners of that sticker. And I'm like, no, we shouldn't do that. And the whole band's like, we shouldn't do that. And the manager's like, we shouldn't do that. And
why not?
He was so pushy.
What were you afraid of?
What actually happened. So here's the way I heard the story. So they finally like had them mock it up. And this is back before Photoshop. Like somebody in the art department at Warner Brothers was actually laying this out, you know, on a light board with paper and pencils and drafting equipment. And just so we could, so Tony's like,
I
just
want to see it.
Yeah, I know. He's like, I just want to see it. Just do it and make a mock up for me. So they did. And here's the story I heard that is apparently true. Lenny Warnker, the head of Warner Brothers, whose parents died in the Holocaust, walked down from his ivory tower and was strolling through the art department and stopped at that desk and said, "Who is Bomb and why the F are they on our label?"
Ooh.
And this was before the record came out. So they would have just killed it right then. But here's the thing. They were making a big stand as being like, we are the bastions of free speech because Perry Farrell, Jane's Addiction had just put their record out and it had the sculptures of the two naked women on the cover, you know, burning that cool arty rock cover. And they had to fight to do that. And then they were like, some stores just wouldn't take it without it. So they made an alternate cover that was just like the Bill of Rights. And then Ice-T was doing his solo thing and he had that Cop Killer song and the FBI and like, you know, in the wake of N-words with attitudes, NWA, this is right after, a little while after that. And, you know, they were like the FBI told Warner Brothers, don't put out this song, Cop Killer. And they're like, F you, we believe in free speech and we are proudly into free speech. But so they didn't kick us off the label. They put out the record and then never promoted it. Like we were like paying our own, like, oh, this is another thing they did. When we're on tour, they made posters, you know, that they send to the clubs, the big glossy posters, the one that's in Demolition Man of the melting faces.
They didn't use glossy ones for you?
Bingo. No, they used glossy ones for us, but they intentionally FedExed them to get there like 4 hours before each gig. Like the day of the gig. So there's, you know, nobody gets to see them. They did things.
So they were
like
basically crippling you.
Yeah. And they wouldn't give us $500 to make a video. We found Kevin Karslake was going to do it for $500. He's the guy that did the Green Day videos. And this is before he was big. And they were like, nope, it's not in the budget. Yeah. And we were, they wouldn't, and we were mail. So we actually got a bunch of the posters and we're like mailing them out using Warner Brothers, FedEx number without their permission. Punk rock.
That shows no courage. I mean, if they had just let your bandmate Tony Fagg do that and you guys were just like, fine, whatever, we'll go along with it. That would reduce the power of the swastika. Like if people saw it more in popular culture and people were just like, yeah, whatever, it's a swastika.
Yeah, but you're not factoring in the record company owned by a guy whose parents died.
Doesn't matter.
Well, tell him that. I agree, but tell him that.
Yeah, he's got an emotional investment again.
Okay, but he's giving a symbol too much power over him and what could be productive for his business. I think it's, you know, it's something that he could take a look at, like, and we could all take a look at what symbols are we giving too much power to.
I think you should write him a tersely worded email right now.
See, you could do that today. Bing, bong. But in the 90s, it was a completely different landscape. This was like when PC culture was a little bit different.
This is when Frank Zappa was testifying in front of Congress of why they shouldn't like outlaw rock and roll.
Well, whatever. You guys created the millennials and all these.
I didn't create a millennial.
You're blaming me?
What, yeah,
you're
blaming that's all on you.
For the millennials?
It's on your plate. Yeah, because you wouldn't put a swastika on your label. So there.
I was going to do it.
You were too afraid.
The label didn't do it. Yeah. We didn't have a choice.
Well, you said you and your bandmates were like, no, don't do it.
We were against it, but once Tony barreled us through, that was like kind of dealing with that guy. It was kind of like,
Because I'm sick of how much power people think they have. Did you see Sarah Silverman like tweeted out she was all afraid because she thought there was people posting swastikas on like, the ground?
It turns out
it was like construction spray paint about like where they're doing piping and gas lines and stuff.
Yeah.
How embarrassing.
She is literally worse than Hitler. So,
but you know what I find just as embarrassing as all these people freaking out about that Netflix trailer, Dear White People, because if you did any kind of like looking into what the show is going to be about, because it was based mild. On a movie. No, it's not that it was mild. It was actually kind of like a movie where everybody was demonized, up to and including the lady who was putting out these extreme anti-white views over the radio, and the person who came out to be victorious. Spoiler, by the way. Who came out to be like the hero of the movie was her white boyfriend who de-radicalized her and made her realize she was a bigot. Yeah. And everybody's like freaking out about this movie. And it's like,
we said this on the show last night, but I'll repeat it.
I watched it. It was good. Actually, I'd recommend it.
Good. Yeah. I think it's ironic that the same people calling to boycott that, like trying to get Netflix to remove it, are the same people, you know, yelling at the left for trying to censor Milo. Now, again, like, you know, the argument I've heard back from that is, well, people, the left are breaking things. Not all of them. Most of them are just carrying signs and screeching, which is basically what white people, what conservatives mostly are doing when they're canceling their Netflix. You know, it's not going to change anything with Netflix. Here's the thing. Netflix should have everything. Netflix should have every piece of video, every TV show and every movie ever made, I think. So
they have the Zeitgeist documentaries on that thing, and I haven't heard one person complain about that.
I saw that the other day.
I'll start complaining now.
I went on there. I've never seen it. I went on there and like started watching it and scrolled it all the way to the end till it came up with the star system, and I gave it 1 star. I think you should do that.
Yeah,
that's how you vote with your fingers, people. Ooh,
did you say you got to the end of Netflix?
Yes, I've reached the end of Netflix.
It's impossible. It's like that. I don't.
You ever see that meme of the cat eating the cheeseburger, and it says, "The cat finally got the cheeseburger. We can all go home now. The internet's been fun. Good job, everyone."
I remember that commercial when they just started getting cable, when cable was starting to be like consumer level, and they had this guy, and he was like, it was like, ding, you've reached the end of the internet. And he was like, oh, I did it. Oh,
yeah. I remember that. That's funny.
Yeah. And I was sitting there what was he really looking at though?
You probably could reach the end of the internet, you know, back then if you just sat there 22 hours a day for, you know, clicking. It grows more per day now than there was on the internet, probably, when they started
Drudge Report
cable.
Was around.
Yeah.
Oh,
I like
wow.
The, I like the look of that site, man. I kind of love
it.
I kind of want to make 90s. The Fiends look like that. It's kind of 70s or 80s, man.
I like it, too. I just downloaded their app recently, and it's funny how they've made their app exactly like their website. It's still like it looks like a
Let's
broken 1990s.
Let's use this advanced technology to look like a typewritten page.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT NoGov merchandise. The BIPCOT NoGovernment license is licensed under the BIPCOT NoGovernment license, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT NoGovernment merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends. Be the coolest kid at Fiendfest Somalia. Laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPstrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
Kind of overreach, but I like that.
Oh yeah, I love Dogma. That's one of my favorite ones. Not very quotable, but it's really good.
I know, it's a little too esoteric and quotable.
So you were going to ask me why I moved my day from Tuesday to Monday.
I was going to say, this is the Freedom Fiends from Global Beast Incorporated. I'm Michael Dean. Hey, Jim Jesus, why did you move your day this week so you'd have Valentine's Day free? You're alone by choice. You like have a friend with benefits, but you ain't.
Oh no, no, no! That's over,
guy.
Yeah,
there are no more benefits.
Hey, girls, he's available. What?
Yeah. No, Valentine's Day is my favorite holiday, and it's for very nefarious reasons. And when I told you that, you were like, what do you mean? Like, you go out and mess with people who are, like, on dates? No, 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 no. It's not like that. Okay, so I am a listener, an avid listener of Tom Likas. You know who he is, right? Yeah. He was a Radio Shock jock kind of guy.
How to get with chicks, dude.
Yeah, he did like this thing on Thursday, and it was basically like how to get with women under $40 and not get them pregnant and all that other stuff. And, you know, not to ruin your life and all this other stuff. So one of the things that he talks about, especially during Valentine's Day, first, don't have a girlfriend around the holidays from Thanksgiving all the way to Valentine's Day. You want to be free. And on Valentine's Day, it's the best day ever because on Valentine's Day, usually in office settings, secretaries and all that stuff, women are really proud of what they get at the work from their boyfriends or SOs or whatever. And they like to put them on their desk proudly and everybody kind of gloats. And of course, there's that one chick that has like 800 flowers because, you know, she's been around the office a bit. And there's always a few girls who don't get anything and they're very sad and depressed. And where do sad, depressed women go? Anywhere they can get cheap drinks. TGI Fridays, Chili's, those sort of places. And I like to go up to them and pray on this terrible holiday, this Hallmark holiday.
I think you should be really upfront and say, hi, I'm praying on you.
Yeah.
That's what I noticed
you're a rejected loser spending your life alone.
That's
terrible. No one loves you.
My pickup line was, you know, something along the lines of, not pickup line, but like within 3 minutes of talking to a woman when I was, you know, back in the single days in the band, when I was on the market and valuable, one of my favorite things, and you know, within probably 3 minutes, like if a woman was flirting with me, like within 3 minutes, I'd be like, you know, I'm not monogamous. And she's like, oh, I'm just looking for a fling. And I'm like, no, but you'll fall in love with me. Everyone does who, you know, I let get close to me. And I fall in love with them, but I don't want to be monogamous. And they're like, it's okay. I remember this one girl, like, after she broke up with me, she's like, I wish I'd listened to you. And then she, like, moved out of state just because she couldn't. Because we both got sober at the same time, and, like, she couldn't stand seeing me. And I went to all the hip AA meetings, so she just left the state.
Well, it was because when you told her that, the first thing she thought is, yeah, he is, and I'm going to fix him.
I know.
He is the broken person, and I'm going to turn Mr. Terribly Wrong into Terribly Right.
That was what she did, but some of them also were like, yeah, but, you know, that's, you know, they weren't looking for a relationship. They were just like, you know, they weren't trying to make me into Mr. Right. They were just looking for a fling, but then did fall in love with me anyway, because I'm...
Well, you gave them fair warning.
Extraordinarily addictive. Yeah, and so it was ethical. You know, I didn't...
Michael W. Dean, the heroine of men. Go ahead.
I want to be... There's a bomb lyric that says, on that Warner Brothers record that was supposed to have a swastika on it, on the Jewish-run label, that didn't end up... there's 10,000 copies of it. You can buy Hate Fed Love on eBay for like 50 cents, the CD. They sold 10,000 copies and then they like dumped 10,000 more as cutouts, you know, the drill out. But
was there vinyl?
Not of that. It was the only one we did, vinyl. It was CD and cassette, but it is on Google Play Music.
So I want to know what your plan is here. So you go up to these ladies and then what?
You just start. Well, I don't go novel. Up to them. Oh, no, you don't go up to them. You you just kind of kind of ignore everything that's going on in the bar, and eventually they'll just dying to know why you're not paying attention to them, and then you just kind of give them a little bit a little bit of attention.
Pull a Likas.
Yeah. And you just give them just a minimum amount of attention so that they're dying for it. So they'll keep talking. The only time you pay attention to them is when they talk. When they're done talking, you go, okay, turn to the wall. Look away.
I never played those games. I played my own games. And like I said, one of the
Well, it doesn't work for fat, bald guys, okay?
Well, I'm not on the market. And I wasn't fat and old in freight.
I'm that old.
I'm hip, you kids.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth Justice American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth Justice American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth Justice American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth Justice American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
This is the Kratom Fiends. That's all I got. Bipcot, Kitty Cats, calling from Worldwide Beast Incorporated.
No gov.
Shooting you with our low orbit Kratom cannon. You know what a low orbit ion cannon is? That thing we have.
I don't know what that is. It's, are those the space beams that Judy Wood?
No. It's a script kiddie program that was invented by Anonymous back when they were doing good and, just going after bad people and bad governments on the internet. And it was a program that allowed people who had no programming, no computer experience to participate in a DDoS, distributed denial of service. It's like a script kiddie GUI based, you just go on and you enter an IP address and run it from your computer, and everybody did it, and it would take down Scientology or whatever.
Yay!
So low orbit ion cannon. I started using that in the Fiends because someone used that on us. It was when I was going hard in the paint against Stefan Molyneux. And for a couple days, the Fiend site was sort of up, but really hard to get to. And I asked our web admin, and he looked at the at our stats, and he said he was pretty sure it was someone using, like a couple hundred people using the low orbit ion cannon. What it does is it just sends a request, 10 requests a second or something. So, on a site that's not like commercial, big, bad butt servers like Googly kind of, or people that have a lot of money for that kind of servers, a normal website of a small business, it'll make it hard to access. It doesn't take that many people to do it. So that's why he put it in there. It was self-defense again. And speaking of cool things, bad audio is a hate crime. It's a sticker. It was created by Jim Jesus. What's the font on hate crime? It's like Bada Bing or something. It's a pretty cool font.
It's some sort of comic book thing. Because I was looking up because I wanted to edit chat bubbles and comic strips to make them
great.
Compatible with Michael W. Dean's bad audio removal service, so to speak.
Yes.
And that was one of the ones that I found. It's one kind of the ones that you see in comic books when someone gets punched and it goes bam or wham.
It's kind of italic-y and it's kind of really bold. And it's old. Yeah, it looks like a Batman thing. But so these bad audio is a hate crime stickers. Jim Jesus invented them, I think, and wasn't it Jeff Lentz printed the first batch of them?
No, we kind of went halves on.
Oh, okay.
No, I think Baron was going to make the t-shirts. I don't know.
Okay, so anyway, that doesn't matter because I'm selling them now. I got a bunch made at Sticker Guy.
You're undercutting me.
Stickerguy.com, and I am badly undercutting you. I'm going to put you out of the business of promoting me. No, I want you to keep doing it, but I'm selling them. I'm selling them for $1 each. You're selling them for $1 plus a stamp self-addressed envelope. I'm selling them, for $1.50 with postage, and I'm selling them for $1 each, no matter how many you get, plus $2 on the whole order for anything outside of the U.S. So there. So
do they come by drone?
It'll be in the show notes.
I don't trust my mailman.
I don't trust
the junk
mailman
didn't even come to the door today.
I know. They're horrible. I blame the government. You know, yeah,
I have one on my car. I love it.
I saw the creepiest thing today. It was something they're rolling out in Dubai. It's a drone single-person taxi. And it's
awesome.
Looks like the George Jetson thing. I don't know. It's not creepy.
Why
it's
going to be creepy? The way of the future. That's beautiful.
You know, I mean, once they work out the bugs, it won't be creepy. Like once, you know, for now, I'd probably trust a good helicopter pilot more than I'd trust.
Is that a Hoppa? You know, is that a Hoppa reference?
No.
How are the drones going to hook us up to their batteries and their machines if they can't drone us up to high spaces?
Hey, I did a cost-benefit analysis on a human the other day. I think people do this all the time, but I did it and I was thinking the term cost-benefit analysis on a third wheel, actually. So when DJ and I moved to this town, I mean, we're a nation of two. We don't have any friends in this town. We don't want any friends in this town. I have friends on the internet. She has books. You know, neither of us like to. We don't need that. You know, we got that.
Party
over
people.
Our
friends are sticky and they ask too many questions.
That's it. So this dude called us who, when we first moved to Casper, Wyoming, we met a friend and we were friends with this dude. And, you know, went out shooting with him and hung out. And he'd come over to have pizza and watch movies with us. And one day we were just kind of like, you know, we don't really need friends. I said to her, like, do we really need friends? You know, because he left a message and wanted to come over. And she was like, nah, not really. And we laughed really hard. And we just never called him again. And, like, you know, he called one night and, like, wanted to come over. And I'm like, I don't think so.
They take time. Friends need to be cultivated. They do. Really need to want to have a friend.
Yeah. And this guy was fine. I mean, he's libertarian. He was, you know, gun guy. He was.
But still, it doesn't matter. Fun. It's a drain, right?
It was kind of like a third wheel on every date. Because you asked me what I'm doing for Valentine's Day. We're doing nothing because for us, every day is Valentine's Day. My wife told this to her hairdresser the other day. She was like, her hairdresser was like, she was getting her hairs did. And her hairdresser was like, oh, what are you and your husband doing for Valentine's Day? And she's like, nothing. You know, we don't. She said something like adamant and militant. Like, you know, our love doesn't need to be confined to a particular day, you know. And the other thing, too, is who the heck wants to go out and wait in line an hour and 45 minutes to have dinner? You know,
why do you have to wait in line? You make reservations.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was still say.
Who wants to be in a really crowded restaurant with a bunch of people trying to force
it? It's romantic. It's cool. Right. I mean, why shouldn't there be a special day where you celebrate your love for each other?
There you go.
I think it's beautiful. Valentine's Day is one of my favorite holidays. It's about love.
It's the best.
You know, people expressing themselves.
So anyway, this guy called up.
Cold-hearted.
This guy called up and like we haven't hung out. I haven't talked to him in 6.5 or 7 years. And DJ ran into him shopping recently and talked for like 3 seconds. And so he called me up and he's like, "Hey, Michael, this is blank," and I was like. I paused because I knew someone else with that name. And I'm like, which blank? And he's like, blah, 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 blank. And he's like, hey, I was wondering if, you know, I haven't talked in a long time. I was wondering if I could, you know, take you out for coffee and we could chat a little bit, you know? I'm like, I paused for like, I can't even pause as long as I did or the talk radio alarms will go off because it was more than 6 seconds. And then I was like, I don't think so. He's like, why? I'm like, well, I really don't want to. He's like, well, how about next weekend? He's like, I was like, I don't know. I think I'm fine not hanging out with you. You know, you're a good guy, but I don't see it. He's like, okay, well, if you change your mind, you have my number now. And I'm like, okay, cool, take care. He's like, take care. And it felt totally right to do it, but it felt really sticky and wicky. That's another thing, like, friends, who needs them?
I don't know. I like
but during friends. The call, during the call, I was doing the maths in my head of like, well, I could just go out for coffee. It wouldn't hurt me to just go out for an hour, but but then that implied, you know,
if you give a mouse a cookie.
I like that. That's funny. Is that a saying? Did you make that up?
Yeah. You're going down a path.
Give a mouse a cookie. It's going to want a glass of milk, and
it was kind of similar to like conversations I've had in my head when I was single and ex-girlfriends called me up. That was the weird thing about it.
Mm. Why was it like?
It was kind of like, no, I don't want to continue our bromance, dude. Yeah, yeah. You know,
yeah. You needed to have a breakup with him.
Well, I thought we did. In that, you know, we quit calling him the last time.
No,
we called
no,
him,
that's like, not a breakup.
I know. But
you were lazy about it.
Followed
that's
by
why he was confused and it was awkward.
Derek, followed by him not, you know, us not talking for 7 years.
That doesn't matter.
Humans, you humans.
You gotta break it off. That's,
yeah,
man, that's the problem.
You gotta communicate
humans.
About the end.
I know. Well, here's the thing,
sorry,
too.
Buddy.
Here's
like,
the thing,
it's been
too.
Real, and it's been fun, but not real fun. So.
But it's not real fun. Yeah, but yeah. He was single, too, when he was hanging out with us. And he met a girl and felt head over heels in love with her and got married really quick. You know, maybe that's it. Maybe it's, like, been 7 years, and he's like, okay, I want to talk to other people besides, you know, his nation of two wasn't his, I don't know, who knows. Anyway, let's
maybe
talk
he needs
about,
the internet.
He has it. Let's talk about libertarians that,
terrible right. libertarians.
So this thing happened. We got a couple minutes here. So this guy, what's the guy's name?
Danny.
Who did the thing? Danny. What's his last name?
I have to look it up.
Loser.
Danny Loser. Yeah. Do you guys know this guy in person?
No.
No. I think the only fiend that really knows him would probably be James Weeks and maybe
Lou. Lou's
maybe.
Met him.
Yeah, probably yeah. Lou because okay. He's from the Michigan yeah. Peace and
You know
Liberty.
What's bizarre? Okay, so this guy, like, we're really beat around the bush here. Jim's going to find the name. Actually, go to the Freedom Fiend site from yesterday, Jim. There's a link to an article that has his name in it.
I got it.
So what is it? Danny
it's,
Javier.
It's pulling
something.
It up right now.
Yeah. Yeah, Danny Javier. That's it.
That's one of his names. So, yeah, like, I can't even
Danny
find
Javier
exactly.
Bloggett. Bloggett.
Bloggett.
Who commonly goes by Dammy Javier.
Dammy. Damn me. Of us, Danny, I'd totally damn go by Damn me. As one word.
It should
That's
be
pretty funny.
Danny Javi.
Yeah, so Danny Javi is one of those libertarians who thinks he's the police of the world. And some lady called the police on a drunk driver and was really proud of it. And he got really mad because that violated his worldview. There's people listening going, what? Of course you do that. Maybe we should explain why some people wouldn't do that and then go to the
Because
break.
He hasn't hurt anyone.
There you go. Yeah. Because it's a victimless crime until they hurt somebody. And yesterday we gave a bunch of reasons other than that, too, of like, A, it could be someone having a medical emergency trying to get off the road to a hospital. And if the police come, they're going to probably detain them from getting medical help and they'll die. It could be someone, you know, with medical issues like a seizure or something. When I see drunk drivers, I just lay really far back and then wait for them to get off or for me to get off the road. And you know, sometimes if they just won't leave and they're really dangerous, we'll get off on and drive on surface streets for a while. That's weird, surface streets. It's as if the highway is not, it's underground and floating in space. Surface streets. Government.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents.
Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Winning my guitar.
Yeah, it's out of tune. Oh, well.
It sounded like someone tuning a guitar. Oh, hey, worms. Yeah.
I didn't write that. Bob Marley did. You can send all hate mail to him and his cancerous toe.
Send the hate mail to care of his cancerous toe. He wouldn't get medical treatment for and died. He died from religion. Yeah, his religion wouldn't let him. All right, so... You know, I was thinking, we were talking during the break about the guy that I made the cost-benefit analysis on, and I really should have said to him, it's not you, it's me. And it would have been the only time in history that's been true. But what did you say, Jim?
I said, most people should just be honest and say, it's not me, it's you.
Yeah. But this really was me. It was like, yeah. I don't like that kind of friend. I don't know. I like friends far away that I see once in a while, like you guys. Well, I haven't seen Jim, but I've seen people who've seen him. Aww.
Have you seen people that seen me?
All right. So the most hilarious doxing ever happened last night. So Danny Dox, that's his name, Danny Javier. Now, to be clear, he didn't. So what happened was he wanted to harm the woman. You know, he wanted to do her harm and punish her because she deigned to call the police and say, you know, someone's driving drunk. So have you guys seen? I had the, here's one of the screenshots. He said, so I got another celebritarian to take down a notch. Oh, he can't write English either, even though he's American. And someone says, who and why?
Take down a notch?
Yeah. So I got another celebritarian to take down a notch. Someone said, who and why? I can't think of any more. There aren't many left. And he said, Danny Javier said, oh, I found her porns and decided it would be fun to take her down a notch.
He's vague booking.
Vague booking, yeah. And someone said, why? And someone said, why? And he said,
ask me why.
He said, she out herself as statist. And her
statist.
And self, yes. Are different words. So, yeah, that's public school for you. And probably private school for people like this. But, so, he didn't... So, she works for a public school, and she has done porn in the past. And...
double whammy.
Nothing wrong with that. And totally, here's my problem with
working
him.
Working like, for a public school?
Yeah.
You don't think there's anything wrong with that?
The thing is, do you think there's a problem with that?
Yeah.
An ethical problem with that?
No, what? Like a lack of self-respect issue.
Well, it's
yeah,
past.
Definitely. If you're someone people who believes that the government is violent and evil and that they propagandize young kids and prevent them from having other opportunities in education, then working for the state in that very organization, like, yeah, that's there's
oh, you're
wrong
crazy.
You're well, crazy. Why am I crazy?
No, that's one place that libertarians should go work for the state if they can, is because they get to reach young minds and give them libertarian
ideas.
I'll
agree with that.
Yeah,
yeah. And there's nothing wrong with
Derek's such back a hardliner.
Stolen.
Derek's such
ends
a hardliner.
Justifies the means for you. I see.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I don't know if you're serious or not. This is one of those. And I said that was going to come up in this discussion of Derek.
I'm totally like, serious. Whoa. People should not work for government. They should not work for the government schools.
I think they shouldn't work for the government, period. It's on top of the fact that it's also a terrible place to work and you just don't.
Yeah. Being like, you know, they can educate young minds. It's like as if that's the only way to educate young minds. I mean, I think you can reach a lot more people.
Derek, I'm quashing you. I want to hear from Jim. Jim, go ahead.
Well, no, I agree with it to an extent, but I mean, I could see if someone tactically thinks that might be a good idea. Who am I to say that's a bad idea?
I'm
all for different tactics.
Case.
Yeah, as long as it's not being completely retarded.
It's not a tactic. It's a cop out.
Shush. We heard what you said, and your echo is still echoing. So you have bad audio. It's a hate crime. You said your thing over and over. Let me say what I think. I think it's the only place, if someone's going to work for the government, and keep in mind, these are all Libertarian Party members that are having all these arguments. She's a Libertarian Party member. Danny's a Libertarian Party member. If he's not, I'll say he is, but I'm pretty sure he is. You know, I think so those people don't mind working with the government anyway, so it's in their purview. And, you know, the whole drunk driving thing, I mean, you're using the government roads. We could make that argument too, but... So I think if you're going to work for the government, I think the only place I'd recommend doing it is public schools, because there is so much deep indoctrination there and kids are not reached. You know, those kids are, they're not going to get reached by, you know, you and some other activists, you and Garrity and Ian Freeman going once a year to the school to one class. You know, that's not going to do it. I think it's a good idea to have a libertarian teacher who's kind of slipping those thoughts in there from time to time. So therefore it's true. So that's the end of that topic. I just want to get to the story.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're sidetracking so much. I know Derek is the perfect anarchist. Derek, you sued the government, though. You've worked within the government. So there.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP and we're covered by Bipcot. Thank you for being a fiend.
Wonderful. Ads are the free market. Ads support radio. Buy everything that's advertised on this show.
I'll give you everything.
Because remember, it's not cheating if you sleep with a ghost.
Nope.
All right. So we're talking about Danny Docs, Danny Javier. Oh, that reminds me, the domain registration is due on damondocs.com, damondocs.com. I have nothing to do with it, but, you know, whoever
someone
made
needs
it,
to fix that.
Someone needs to fix that. It's due in about a month. So, Danny Docs. So, the funniest thing happened. So, this guy, he basically, I don't have the other screenshot, but it was something like he really wanted to harm this woman, he, you know, because she had called the police on somebody, and he's one of these, you know, never talk to the police. I am one of these never talk to the police people too, but for moral reasons, but largely more for practical reasons. Like, A, when you call the police to help with something, they will more likely come and arrest you or shoot you. Yep. Or shoot your dog. B, I just don't like police. I don't like talking to them. I
scary.
You know how, you know, okay, anybody who's listening going, well, but the police are good. Okay, when you see a policeman in your rear view mirror, you know you tense up a little bit. You go,
yeah, my heart races.
Your heart races a little bit. You check your speed, and you try to look really normal. You start looking straight ahead. Everyone does that, and that's a really simple example of what's wrong with police. And, you know, I don't want chaos. I don't want blood in the streets and violence. I like order. I like people to not aggress on each other. But most of what the police do these days is try to, well, two things. One is babysit adults that are retarded, that in a free market probably would have died by the time they're 30. Seriously. You know, show up for, like, quarrels that intelligent or ethical people could easily solve amongst themselves. And then the rest of what they do is three things. That, revenue generation, like charging you to use something you've already paid for with your taxes, like parking on a street, public street. And then the other thing is trying to bust you for anything so they can keep their stats up. And there may not technically be on paper quotas, but you can bet a cop that doesn't arrest anybody isn't going to be a cop very long. And one way they do that is by phishing, you know, oh, hey, where are you going? none of your business. Am I free to go? Is the answer, you know, politely and firmly, you know, why would you tell the cop where you're going? They're just trying to figure out if they can charge you with something. It's like a human mill. The justice system is the injustice system. It's not really justice. It's about running people through a mill, extracting money from them, putting them in a cage or whatever it takes to find them, extract money from them, and justify their existence. You know, that's how district attorneys, when they're running, they say, like, my conviction rate was 96%. You know, I incarcerated this many people. Yeah, that's a bad thing. That leads to people getting arrested for non-crimes.
Yeah.
And even worse, and planting evidence for non-crimes.
But this is all leading into what is the non-aggression principle?
Yeah, the non-aggression principle. Derek, what is the non-aggression principle? The NAP.
The non-aggression principle is an idea that people should behave a certain way, and they should respect each other's body and property. Put another way, they should not aggress on other people's body or property.
Right. The golden rule.
Initiation.
Initiation of force.
Yeah,
so using force back form, in self-defense.
The simplest wording of it is, do not initiate aggression.
Yeah.
That's the non-aggression principle. You know, it doesn't mean don't ever use violence. If someone tries to strangle you and you shoot them to stop them, you have not initiated aggression. You have used force in return to stop aggression. But right. The extension, and most people agree with that. Most people say, well, of course. Of course you don't do that, but most people initiate aggression by proxy, by not only voting. Like, it sounds insane to people listening to radio to say don't vote, but let me talk about, like, the attitude people have when they vote. Like, if you have ever said, like, good, I'm glad that guy's rotten in a cage, I hope he doesn't drop the soap, and it's someone who has never aggressed on anyone. You know, they like, if they were selling pot or if they were not paying their taxes, that's not aggression. That's not a real crime. If you've ever cheered for someone like that to get arrested and thought, don't drop the soap, like you're wishing them rape, basically.
Yeah.
You're a bad person and you've initiated aggression, at least in your heart. And, you know, the Bible says that if you do something in your heart, you've done it. So I would say stop initiating aggression. So we try to live our lives. Libertarians try to live their life in a way that doesn't initiate the non-aggression principle. It's a good idea in general. People take it to insane nuances. I would say it's kind of taking it to an extreme to say, you know, never call the police, even if you see a real crime. You know, like, there's people who wouldn't call the police. The problem is calling the police, by the time they get there, it's over. You know, that's a problem, even other than the moral problem. But people take it to absurd lengths. Like, Jim gave an example, like, you know, that it's initiating aggression to turn on a light in my house because it's shining in my neighbor's eyes until he shuts his curtain.
No, here's the thing. Okay, so if you're going to take it as a moral axiom, which means that it's self-evidently true and it can never be questioned, it's a moral rule. Because there's two different kinds of ethics, right? There's deontological and consequentialism. Not to get too into detail, but one is basically like rules versus what are the outcomes. So someone would say, like, don't murder someone because it results in the death of someone. That would be a consequentialism. Whereas someone says, like, just don't kill anybody, period. It doesn't matter if they survive it or not. Then you're talking more like deontological. That's kind of the dumb version of it. So the NAP would be a deontological position. It would be a rule. Now, if you say that it's wrong to aggress against someone, to initiate force, to trespass against someone, to commit fraud or anything like that, well, then it comes as an axiom. Then it comes into concerned considerations where you have to say, like, you can't let photons cross into someone else's property without a contractual obligation beforehand. Yeah. But let's say that we're just going to take it down to more of like a consequentialist kind of NAP version, where it's like, you don't aggress against someone because of the outcomes, which is I kind of view more as legitimate. I think drunk driving would fall into a violation of the NAP because you're putting risk upon everybody else. Just in the same way as if I have
people say, if I have a revolver, say that.
Right, if I have a revolver and every chamber is loaded and I pull the gun to your head and pull the trigger, the chances of 1-to-1 that you're going to die. But what if I take one bullet out and spin the chamber and you have one out of six chance that you're going to die? Or what if I take all of them out except one? Russian. What if I have one that's just 100 in one bullet in 100 chambers? What about one in a million chambers? So you're putting all these risks. So driving a car would be a violation if you're looking at it from a
Wait a minute, Jim. If you're going by consequentialism here, isn't the real issue that the bad driving is dangerous, not necessarily that someone is inebriated in any way?
She was just a completely awful person because she didn't even know they were drunk. She called and said, "You know, someone's driving badly."
Right. That's the issue. It's not drunk driving necessarily.
If someone's a professional drunk driver and they know what they're doing, that's right. That's fine with me.
I also think that really, you know, if you want to talk about a more practical view, really what the police should do when you're drunk driving and driving badly is pull you over and then give you a ride home and call a tow truck for you. If they really protected and served, that's what they do. And it's whether or not it's an initiation or aggression to drive drunk. Here's a better way of looking at it is
recklessly driving drunk. I think that should
drunk driving laws do probably more harm than drunk driving. But I really don't want to get into that because we can talk about that for the rest of the show. And what I want to get into is the insanity of two things that go in opposite directions and often come from the same people, like Danny, and often come. Are contradictory. It's these are the kind of people that A, argue that kind of stuff, like how many non-aggression principles can dance on the head of a pin. And on the other hand, those same people are often the people that are complete jerks and do things like get someone fired because they did something completely ethical, you know, legal, moral. We're a porn star 20 years ago. And that's a big problem I have with Danny, is that he used the state against somebody for having done something absolutely agorist.
He did not. He posted on social media. That's not using the state.
But there are some screenshots that I saw but don't have of him trying to get her, you know, trying to like stir it up and hurt her. So I'm not saying it violates the non-aggression principle. What I'm saying is I think the problem with a lot of newly minted libertarians who live at home, and Danny Blodgett lives at home. I know this for a fact. Here's the bizarre thing that happened too, and I want to get this in before we get sidetracked with the how many photons of liberty can dance on the head of a pin. So last night, this is kind of hilarious. So Danny doxed her. He gave out, you know, kind of private public information and pushed it to the point where she actually quit. She actually went and told the school, like, this happened. Like, they knew, and they said, you know, it's okay as long as it doesn't become an issue. He knew that and tried to make it an issue. So she
made it an issue by going to them and reporting herself.
I agree with that, too. But here's the basic thing. The guy was a freaking jerk. And my problem with people like this who argue about the head of a pin and, you know, is I've seen this kind of post. It's like ridiculous, like childlike, live with your mother questions about the nuance of the non-aggression principle. Those are often the same people who are absolute jerks and do stuff that outside of liberty would get your ass kicked and think it's okay because it doesn't violate the non-aggression principle. Are you one of those people, Derek? You kind of sound like it in some of your arguments. I mean, I hear you say that a lot. Like, well, it doesn't violate the non-aggression principle when people are jerks.
I never
like,
said that.
I just pointed out that you were incorrect
that she, you know, that this guy went to the state. He didn't.
No, she did. We were clear on that last night, and I'm making that clear now. He didn't.
Okay.
But he tried. He tried to get her fired. Period.
No. Oh, yeah. Goal. No. Okay. So, is this guy a jerk? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, okay. That's, so, if that's I want to get this out. Asking. Give me a minute here. This is the hilarious thing that happened last night. So this guy doxed somebody. Somebody sent me this picture that they made during the show, like, hey, you should use this. And it was hilarious, and I used it. It's like Danny Blodgett with a police hat on and Hillary 2016. Tonight, they wrote me and said, you know that police badge number on his hat? That's his street address. Like, to show him he was doxable, but they didn't do it. I didn't know it. I didn't take it down because it's on the internet. It's like taking pee out of a pool, but that's funny, man.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Yes. That's what they're
saying. Yeah. Well, I just wish it was something like it. There needs to be a different version of Dead Wax.
Oh, yeah, that like stuff at the end of the record that you put little weird words. Yeah, yeah, they do that. I've seen them do it.
They etch it into the press.
Yeah. Yeah, they pull out, like, it looks like it's a stylus, like kind of a diamond pointed pen, and they just carve it in there. I saw George Horn do that to the bomb record, first bomb record, Jefferson Hill, at Fantasy Studios when he's mastering it. You know, my friends had this really horrible, great noise band called the Happy Flowers, and they had their record mastered by George Horn at Fantasy Records, and he sent him a sympathy card for doing it.
Oh,
I thought that was kind of cute.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the non-aggression principle, redemption, third act. You know, I guess Derek, I don't. I'm not convinced, you know, I kind of accused you of being a non-aggression principle absolutist. I guess it's because there's this thing that seems to be common around Free Talk Live hosts and also New Hampshire libertarians in general of kind of this, like, you can't say something without it getting challenged on a non-aggression principle basis. Have you noticed that, Jim? I mean, yeah. It's not exclusive to them, but...
Like, someone will be a complete jerk, go up to a bar and just say terrible things and then, like, get punched, and then everybody's starting to have an argument. It's like, well, he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't violate the non-aggression principle, and that guy punched him. It's like, no, but he was being a jerk. And sure, yeah. So the NAP is supposed to be about, like, how you organize kind of society, right? It's not supposed to, it's how you interpret law. That's what it's supposed to be. Not, is this guy a good person? It's not, because you can be a total jerk and everything should, and they should be allowed to do whatever they do. But I should be able to say, like, okay, that was kind of a jerk move, right?
Yeah.
A lot of, like, what Milo Yiannopoulos does, recently. I think, is jerky, but I think it's
what?
Like, a lot of the things that Milo Yiannopoulos will do every once in a while, I think is kind of jerky. Oh, but he should be allowed to do it. No. Kitty Yiannopoulos.
Kitty
Yiannopoulos. My new cat's name, yeah.
You got a new cat?
Oh. No, when I get a new cat, it's going to be Kitty Yiannopoulos. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so, Derek?
Yeah.
Well, so, like, the NAP, what you guys called, like, an absolutist, I would say that I am, you know, that I haven't seen any examples where I think it's moral to violate the non-aggression principle, but it's not, it's just a baseline. Like, on top of that, there's etiquette, and I try and layer on top of that, like, how to be a good person. There's, like, the base of how to not be a completely evil scumbag, and that's the NAP. But then on top of that, like, there's ways to be a good neighbor, like shoveling your neighbor's walk and saying, keeping mean thoughts to yourself, you know, like...
I'd rather be neighbors... Put it this way. I'd rather be next-door neighbors with a statist who's a decent person than a libertarian who's a jerk.
Right, yeah.
And so I think I'm a more lot of libertarians are jerks.
What do you think should happen to this guy?
What if I don't want them shoveling my lawn? What if I don't want them shoveling my driveway?
I think it's happened. What should happen to Danny?
Yeah.
People have called him a jerk. At least, I mean, at least
ostracism.
2 days of radios have all 2 days of radio have almost been devoted to him. Oh, I do have something that somebody said that's really embarrassing. I asked last night for things about Danny, and, you know, I was hoping for some deep dirt. But I didn't get any deep dirt, but I did get somebody said that Danny tried to hit on this person's girlfriend. And if people think this is made up, Jeremy was there. So ask Jeremy. He'll know about this. Danny tried to hit on this guy's girlfriend, knowing this guy you know, knowing the girl's boyfriend was a few feet away. And she was just like, no, man, go away. And laughed at him like, get away, little boy. And he was crushed and started crying.
Oh, man, so, that's rough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's hard.
Poor boy. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so when it comes to the NAP, like, I think it's a good kind of rule of thumb. There is ways you can violate the non-aggression principle that's perfectly fine with everybody involved, even without prior.
Like
prior.
Quick example.
Like turning your light on, or you know, smoking outside and letting the smoke kind of waft into their yard or something like that. Those would be violations technically, but it should result in a bad outcome before you can say, okay, now this is a crime.
Here, here.
And not just being triggered as a bad outcome.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a phrase in AA, and I know you hate AA, but there's a phrase in AA of you made amends to people you harmed. The word harm, I think that's the operative word. If you've harmed somebody and not just hurt their feelings because they're sensitive, but really harmed somebody, I think you've...
Yeah, and this guy went out for harm.
What's that? Yeah, he went for harm.
He not only just got her fired, but ruined her any potential of a career in the future.
Yeah,
she got herself fired, but he went out for the harm.
Yeah.